Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lacaine. On this show, I interview some of the best thought leaders and activists focused on solutions to the most pressing issues of our time. Today, we'll talk with people working to strengthen our democracy. We know what the problems are. The influence of big money on politics, leading to a government that works well for wealthy donors but not the rest of us. The suppression of voters, knocking legitimate voters off the rolls as happened in Georgia and elsewhere last year. Gerrymandering, the drawing of district lines so politicians choose the voters rather than voters choosing the politicians. Our guests today understand these problems and are working hard for solutions to these challenges and more. In our first segment, Sarah Bonk will talk about her work at Business for America, engaging business to be more active in strengthening our democracy. The second segment will be a discussion of the pro-democracy bill passed by the U.S. House, H.R. 1, what's in it and why it's so important. First up is engaging business to be more active in strengthening our democracy. Sarah Bonk, welcome to All Together Now.
Thank you for having me.
So, Sarah, you had a great job in the tech sector with Apple. You worked in the private sector for 20 years, including 14 years as an executive at Apple. Why did you leave such a really good job and go found Business for America?
Well, that's a question I ask myself every day.
I bet you do.
Let me give you a little background about myself. I mean, I come from a family that was always very engaged in the community, and when I went to college, I had this idea that I wanted to help make the world a better place. And I got a degree in public policy, and I loved the things that I studied in blending all these different ideas and disciplines. And then I interned in Washington, D.C., and it was an extraordinarily valuable experience, but the main lesson I got from that was that I did not belong in D.C. Because I was so passionate about change and innovation and making things better and how could we help move society forward. And that was just not the conversation. This was the 90s, and, of course, it was very partisan and very gridlocked, and I don't think that has changed all that much since then. In fact, it's really we see it's gotten worse over time. So what I did instead was I went to the private sector. This was, technology was ascending in the mid-90s, and I was good with computers, and I built an entire career around design, technology, and leadership skills. And that was lovely. I am proud of the work I did, had a wonderful time, and wanted to get back to spending at least my spare time helping to make the world a better place, and thought about a lot of different ideas, but I kept coming back to the fact that we weren't going to be able to get better outcomes for society on a lot of issues without getting better public policy. And so I found myself right back where I started and thinking about public policy, and of course, that gets down to this root issue of how does our system of government function and how do we hold it accountable? And of course, that comes down to the way we're structured as a republic or representative democracy, whatever someone prefers to call it. Mm-hmm. And that is that without addressing that system, we're not going to solve these bigger societal issues. I think I should talk a little bit then about why business. Of course, I started volunteering for a number of different nonpartisan groups. Professor Larry Lessig and Represent Us, Take Back Our Republic, and just doing what I could do in my spare time. And as I was doing that, I thought, who is making the business and economic case here? And why isn't business at the table? Because it's pretty clear to me and a lot of people that when democracy is not functioning well, it's ultimately not good for the business community either. We think a lot about the public interest, but certainly our system of enterprise, the dynamism of markets, also relies on good public policy and healthy government. So I asked around a lot, and nobody was really focused on that. So I started putting together this initiative. I kind of thought I'd stay at Apple, and maybe I'd be on the board of this organization that I would get off the ground, but ultimately decided that I needed to do this full-time if it was going to happen. And so that's why I created Business for America, with this idea that we can prove to the public that the interests of the business community are aligned with the public interest in well-functioning democracy.
Yeah, we would hope that. I find it fascinating that you've come really full circle and you started out with the intention to influence government and kind of hit the buzzsaw down on Capitol Hill there. And that it wasn't even as bad then as it is now. But with all your experience in business, that you came back to recognize that really, if we want to make headway, we're going to have to work through government and through public policy. So that's an amazing trajectory in your career there. So so tell us about what is the mission of Business for America? What are you trying to achieve with the organization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to catalyze the business community here. So our intent is to educate and then mobilize the business community. And that means individual business leaders, of course. They can speak out as themselves. Other business groups that are interested in this issue but maybe don't have the time or specialization to think about what reforms are going to be the most valuable and where they should lend their clout. And ultimately, businesses themselves and finding the right platform where the actual corporations can do things that are going to make a difference. This is about, for me, not about talking about the problem, although that certainly is part of how we get to solutions, but it is about how do we advance solutions and get them adopted. And that means both public policies themselves as well as technology. And that can't help but look at things that way, being here in Silicon Valley, that there's so much we can do with adoption of modern technology, and that some of those technologies could strengthen democracy itself as well.
Well, that's interesting. Like, what specifically are you thinking? When you say modern technology could strengthen our democracy, what would you see happening there?
Well, some of the work that we're doing is around election technology, and I have lots of stories around our technology in many states today truly not being secure, and we know that there's a lack of trust in some of the elections, especially recently, and that's damaging fabric of society. So looking at technology solutions around cybersecurity, not just the voting machines themselves, but the entire infrastructure. But beyond that, there's so many things that we can do in terms of making it easier for government to be transparent and accountable. And ultimately, you know, if government isn't being held accountable by the public, then that's part of the problem. We also think you could have better deliberation tools, better ways of gathering data and measuring outcomes so that you can create better public policies, better ways to communicate among staffers, and even just, you know, the efficiency of how things are run on the Hill. And we're thinking about this at the state level, too, and some of them are getting ahead of the federal level. So finding ways for best practices to be shared so that everybody can save time in knowing, like, what works and what doesn't work.
I love that. That's actually one of the themes of our show here is the best practices. I spent 20 years going around the United States looking for the best of what's working in different areas, like helping make the best schools that can help students in any community and best ways to help children with autism. And it just amazes we have so many breakthroughs and so many great solutions, but we're not systematically building on the best of what's working. And we certainly need that within our election system. So that would be awesome to do that. So tell us a little bit about you're reaching out now. You've been in the private sector for 20 years. You're reaching out to companies to engage them in our Democratic Republic here, because we're certainly in a high stress situation right now. We can't take anything for granted, including the three branches of government, which we always learned about. Now we have a very a president who wants to expand his own powers at the expense of the Congress. So what's happening as you reach out to companies? What are you asking them to do, and what's the response coming from them?
Yeah, this is kind of new, really, to think about businesses themselves speaking out about democracy. Last year, there was an initiative called Time to Vote, and this was started by Patagonia, but they were able to get over 400 companies signed up and saying, we are going to make sure our employees have time to vote. Patagonia shut down the company for a day, which is a big deal, but a lot of other companies just made that commitment and made sure their employees could vote. And it's kind of amazing, like even something as simple as that still got attacked as being partisan, like, oh, they really want, they're leftists, they think it's going to help, you know, a certain party. But when you looked at the blend of companies that got involved, you know, certainly Patagonia we think of as a sustainability and a progressive company, but Walmart also signed up, right? This is about a principle that's bigger than that. And I think that's a key strategy for Business for America and why we need to engage the business community. There's sort of a third side in American politics in a way, because overall, business is not a left-right thing. It's about enterprise. It's about creating value. It is about changing the world ultimately by, you know, advancing, whether it's technology or service or what have you, whatever product, that these things can make our lives better. Certainly, that isn't always the case, but that is the idea behind business, and that we have this system of enterprise and innovation. So bringing that lens then to and that narrative to the political sphere, and just saying, like, you know, why shouldn't everybody be engaged? You know, it only makes sense that we have this system. Why shouldn't everybody vote? And I'm going to make sure my employees could vote. So we're really excited to see that happen, and we are talking to a number of different businesses that were engaged in that, as well as looking at other ways that they may want to get involved. You know, with the business community, they're a little cautious about where they engage on political activities because, you know, frankly, they're concerned about the ramifications politically in the you know, whether it's their local politician or state or national, but also, you know, how it's going to be perceived by the community. So that kind of first step into the shallow end of the pool was time to vote. And there have been other things before, but this is, I think, at scale, the biggest that's happened so far. So we're eager to help take that idea and carry it further and say, what other activities can we help businesses get involved in, whether it's civic education for their own employees and nonpartisan, or giving them time to volunteer at the polls and activities like that that can help make a difference, starting really simple, and then, you know, continue to add different activities and initiatives that can make a bigger difference over time.
Oh, that's great. And you mentioned a couple of companies like Patagonia sitting down to allow the employees to vote on Election Day, and Walmart doing the same. That's good. Who are some of the leading companies that are showing the way of what companies can do to help strengthen our democracy? Would you say Patagonia and Walmart are in the forefront, or do others also come to mind?
Well, you know, I'd say right now we're really at sort of the cusp of this. Mm-hmm. Historically, Ben & Jerry's has been a big champion for the idea of democracy. They have gone quite strongly in favor of a 28th Amendment to deal with corporate personhood and money and speech. I think a lot of people have heard about that, to overturn Citizens United. And that was a while ago. And since then, there's really not a lot to report. So those companies mm-hmm. involved with time to vote, of which there are quite a few, I'd say have been really important. Like Levi's was also involved. There are companies that are not only giving their employees time to vote, but also working with Rock the Vote and other things to tell their customers that they should go vote. But truly, that's about it right now, and that's why there's such a huge opportunity. Thinking from a business lens, there's a market here, and we intend to figure out how to exploit it in the positive sense of the word.
Right, exactly. So what are some of the kinds of activities that Business for America is doing in order to reach out and engage more in the business community around our democracy?
Mm-hmm. We have sort of three different sets of activities that we're working on. First of all, we are talking to and collaborating with grassroots and other advocacy organizations at the state level. There's so much activity going on at the state level, and that's where we can make the biggest difference eventually that will ripple up to the federal level. So we are building a coalition in different states, and where we have sort of found fertile ground. We can only be in so many places at once, and that includes like Pennsylvania, Colorado, California, and we're looking at a couple other places like New Hampshire and Ohio. So we'll see. And we're going to start building out these networks, and when there's a public policy that can be supported, I'm going to use Pennsylvania as an example because it's our leading initiative right now. That's not a ballot initiative state. So adding the business voice, adding that clout, you know, standing up and being heard makes such a bigger difference in a place like that where everything has to get through the legislature, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got a sign-on letter in Pennsylvania in support of better election security and fully funding the machinery necessary to do that, and having paper ballots and eventually auditing every election as well. Mm-hmm. And then we have also looking at doing op-eds, and we're going to start having activities. So there's an educational aspect, there's sort of a networking aspect, and then there is a getting the word out aspect. And we are reaching out to the lawmakers themselves. We're having a webinar with two of the state level senator and a representative, and at the end of the month. And so that's an opportunity for us to engage the business community directly with those lawmakers and say we care about this issue. I was going to say that's the policy work. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we are building out what is like a corporate social responsibility program, but it is in fact a corporate civic responsibility program. So this is sort of taking that time to vote idea to the next level. And that is a new initiative. So we're looking for people that are interested. If they have a company that is ready to sign up, we have memberships, and we are going to have this corporate civic responsibility program ready to roll sometime later this year. And lastly, the thought leadership work. You know, we want everybody to hear this story that democracy is good for business. It's as simple as that. Certainly some businesses today are they're benefiting from our poorly functioning, you know, the dysfunction. They like it. It's working to their advantage. But we think when you look at the bigger picture, the way things are running today is anti-competitive. It's anti-innovation. It's hurting the market. And so we make that case, first of all, so the business and economic case for democracy. And then second of all, we want to have a larger conversation around capitalism and democracy itself. And I'm using capitalism here as shorthand for a system of enterprise and markets, you know, so it can be a loaded term sometimes. But those two things depend on each other. You know, if you want to have enterprise and we want to have this, you know, robust and flourishing economy where ideas can thrive and people can make new things happen, we need a democracy where, you're not being restricted in too many ways. And by the same token, our government itself, you know, democracy needs these markets and ideas and this flow of information to keep it accountable and to help make it work better. So we think that there's a dual responsibility and it goes both ways.
Right, absolutely. And so what's some of the response? You know, you worked at Apple for 14 years. What's the response of your former colleagues? Are they saying, you know, go Sarah, this is great, sign us up? Or are they going, what, have you lost your mind? You're leaving well-paid high-tech job to go organize businesses for democracy. What's the response among your former colleagues at Apple?
Well, I'd say among my former colleagues and really just about anybody I meet, people say, this is great, and this is such a good idea, and this is so important, and thank you for doing this. But mm-hmm. they also sort of feel a little bit like, I don't know if that's even possible. And mm-hmm. to me, given what's happening in the business world and all these companies getting involved in having a social responsibility and making the world a better place, and that's now an expectation more than it is an option, there's an opportunity for us to do this with democracy as well. And I think over time, it's going to get easier and easier as more people get on board. So I feel really confident about our ability to do that. And it's just going to take, we just need to get a little bit of momentum, and we need to get hit critical mass, and things are going to start happening.
Right. And have you talked with people who have organized the business community for other things? Mm-hmm. So, for example, my friend Mindy Luber runs an amazing group called Ceres, C-E-R-E-S, which has organized businesses to be more environmentally sound. And she went to her conference recently. She has all these big and small. I mean, you have the usual suspects of Ben and Jerry's, the socially aware groups are obviously involved. But she also had Bank of America and a lot of these Wall Street financial institutions all in there because they recognize climate change is impacting all the companies now and has to be built into their plans as part of their risk assessment. So have you talked to Mindy Luber or people at Ceres about how they could maybe help you link up with some of their member companies to work on the democracy side in addition to the environment?
Ceres is one of the ones that I haven't spoken to and would love to do that. We certainly have talked to lots of other business groups and social responsibility organizations. So I could list those off, but you know, think about local business groups and then things like sustainable brands or Committee for Economic Development. We're talking to some business roundtables at the state level and chambers of commerce. So they're, we're getting lots of information and lots of encouragement. In fact, I think when we speak to other business groups, they say, oh, this isn't what we do, but this makes sense, and this could either add value to our current portfolio or it's complementary to it, and we should partner up.
Right, exactly. That's what makes the most sense to me is just find, you know, the people have already gathered the sheep together and they've got a membership or a network that you could just add the democracy to what they're already doing. Because, you know, that's happening with a lot of the organizations. They say, well, we originally were formed for workers' rights or the environment or, you know, some other issue, but everybody has to include democracy as their, at least their number two issue, given the current situation. So,
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yeah, and, so that's great that you're doing.
Yeah, and for our part, you know, as Business for America and our platform, we are exclusively about, and we're nonpartisan, we're exclusively about these sort of, for lack of a better term, structural political reforms, you know, dealing with the system itself, the rules of the game. We don't deal with any substantive issues. So if somebody wants to say, what's your take on taxes? What's your take on health care or immigration? We don't have one. We are here to just say, if we're going to have good outcomes on all those other issues, and especially when I say good outcomes, they need to be durable, bipartisan outcomes, right? Because certainly some people may think this or that, but ultimately if it just keeps changing radically from administration to administration, that's also not a great outcome. So we're all about that idea of things that are popular and bipartisan, and that applies to political reform as well. And there's so much we can do. When you look at the polls, most Americans agree on most of these issues, that we should have elections that are both secure and accessible, and that gerrymandering is pretty silly and we probably should stop doing it. So there's so much ground that we could cover, and we don't have to deal with, you know, picking winners and losers in the markets or, you know, dealing with any of the other issues. So having that exclusive focus allows us to, you know, keep an eye on the ball, as it were.
Right. Well, you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce, and I think you're exactly right. Anything that strengthens our democracy should be nonpartisan, and all Americans should support it. But what's the response been, say, in the Chamber of Commerce, which seems to have taken a, you know, pretty much a right-wing Republican turn over the recent past? Are they being helpful in communicating your message to their members?
Yeah, we haven't talked to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I should be specific about that. But there are different chambers of commerce at the state and local level. And so when we're talking to some of the smaller organizations, they're a lot more responsive. But what we do hear from these smaller organizations, more local organizations, they're saying, we think this is so important, but we can't dedicate resources to this. And we'd like to help you, but this just can't be at the top of our agenda. And our members expect us, their paying members, expect them to deliver value and activities that align with their bottom line directly, even though democracy ultimately does affect the bottom line a little farther down the road. So they're excited then to partner with us because they can lend us their clout. They can sign our letters. They can help us connect to their membership. And then at the same time, when there's a win, when there's a success, they get to claim that. So we can provide value to them and vice versa.
That sounds great. And what are you doing, just our final 30 seconds here, what are you doing to try to address the political polarization that's kind of intensified in our country recently?
We think that one of the best ways we can do that is with our thought leadership and getting the story out about the value of democracy. And of course, we're talking here the business and the economy, but there's a bigger picture too. It's just like about society and humanity. I mean, if you are a business person, you want to have customers, then we need to have a robust middle class. We need to have a system where people's voices are heard. It needs to be responsive. It needs to evolve over time. So we want to get that story out. And we're having a conference this fall themed around capitalism and democracy and weaving all these different stories together. And then as we start to also reach out to these corporations and get the corporate civic responsibility program going, we're going to have a much broader voice and be able to reach a lot more people with the stories. Of course, we want to help advance public policies that reduce polarization, too. We care about that. Those are on our agenda, and we'll be supporting those, whether it is through our thought leadership or our advocacy or our corporate civic responsibility program.
That's great, and that's all the time we have. The group is Business for America. Sarah Bonk, thank you so much for being with us today.